because it certainly is true that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Let's listen to His Word, once again read from John chapter 14. I'll begin the reading at verse 22, and let us once again hear the very words of God. When Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak to you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Let us pray together. Lord, may your word be a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. May your word be received in the fertile soil of our hearts. Lord, we long for your word to be that living word which would go deeply into our very center and bring about new life, fresh courage, new strength, new hope, deeper faith. Lord, your word is powerful to do that. So we pray that we would listen, that you would speak, and that this time would be blessed. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. When Kenton, who is back from college, was about 1 year old, see, you haven't been here for a while, so I get to use you as a sermon illustration. He was about 1 year old, and it was in the winter, and we were driving back to southern Illinois from Chicago. And he was in the back seat, in his car seat, and he was just very peaceful and restful. And it was very wintry, slippery roads. I think it was on I-55. And at one point, I hit this patch of ice. And I could, you know, you've had this feeling. I know this feeling of I'm not controlling the car anymore. And I could kind of feel it sliding. And then it kind of was more sliding, and it kind of over to the side. And I'm trying to compensate. And then it swerves back. And eventually, and this is on Interstate 55, I lose complete control, and the car does a 180. I mean, just slides around. I'm able to keep it between the ditches, but it's stopping place. I'm looking now the other way on the oncoming traffic. I'm pointed exactly the wrong way, and I can see a big rig, big semi, up in the distance coming straight at me. And I was able to just slowly maneuver my car off to the shoulder to avoid disaster. It's a kind of a brush with death. It really didn't feel that way. Now, my point in telling you that story is that my recollection was that Kenton He had, you know, his sippy cup and his rattle, but he was completely unrattled. You know, he was like, he had nothing, he had no idea what had happened. He was peaceful in his car seat. I look back, and I mean, I've got my sippy cup, my rattle, and all's well with the world. At complete peace. Now, I admit that that peace was probably misguided at that point. But I want you to think about this. That Christ wants us to know his peace. And his peace is a unique kind of peace that is a peace even in the crazy turns and diversions and turnarounds that happen in our lives. Jesus said that he was going away, and that has caused great distress among the disciples. We've talked about this already. But he says, but I'm going to send another like me, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. So the Holy Spirit is going to indwell the believer in Christ's physical absence. The Holy Spirit as a Counselor, well, think about what that word means. It means the Holy Spirit is described as, an advocate, a counselor, a comforter. What else does that mean? An advisor, perhaps, as a counselor, a caregiver, a helper. I think those are all implied in the word counselor or comforter. And I suppose the implication is Jesus is saying, I know that you guys are going to need counsel. You're going to need to be consoled. You will need comfort. You will need advice. You will need care. You will need helping. The Holy Spirit that I send in my name is that presence for you. Dear friends, this is a topsy-turvy world that we live in, and it's full of confusion, full of lostness and pain, and conflict, suffering and stress, brokenness and guilt, shame, weakness, loneliness. As I mentioned earlier in the service, our congregation, as I just sort of think about the families in our congregation, we have a lot in our Christian community that are carrying some really heavy burdens right now. I mean, really heavy, or have in the past 6 months, have carried some really, really heavy, heavy burdens. And you know that. You know that, and you know that that's you, and you know that that's me. And so it's important for us to hear this, right? It's important for us to hear Jesus saying, I am giving you a counselor, a comforter, and that I want my peace to be with you, and that my peace is unique, and it's not the same kind of peace as the world's peace. So I want to talk here at just 2 points this morning, that in the coming of the Holy Spirit, we want to realize that there is real comfort and counsel for the Christian, and it's the comfort of a new way of thinking about a home, what a home is, and a comfort in a new kind of peace. So let's think about those two things this morning. May God help us to really wrestle with this. Because when you hear Jesus saying, my peace I give to you, I mean, wouldn't that be amazing and wonderful if you could know what that means and receive that? I mean, you're serious about that, right? My peace I give unto you. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if you could go deeper into what that means to receive that? So let's think about that. So he's talking about going away. He's saying that the world isn't going to see me anymore. And so Judas, not Judas Iscariot, remember, Judas Iscariot has left the building by this time, right? But this is another Judas. This is the only time that we hear this particular Judas speak in all Scripture. The Judas that's not Iscariot. He's probably also referred to in Scripture by the surname of Thaddeus. But he asks Jesus a question. And the question is, but Lord, Why do you intend to show yourself to us, which he has done, but not to the world, in the sense that he's saying he's just departing now. Why is this? Why are you doing this? So Jesus reaffirms what he's already talked about, that, you know, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. But then notice what he says right after this. And this is really interesting. Look with me at verse 23. And let's see what he says. He says, he talks about this. He says, let's start in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. Now catch this part. And we, this is the Father and the Son. Notice the Trinitarianism in this section. So we, the Father and the Son, will come to him. And we will make our home in him. So this is interesting now. Just hold on here with me. Jesus is saying that in the giving of the Holy Spirit, notice we got all three persons being mentioned here, in the giving of the Holy Spirit, and in the Holy Spirit indwelling the Christian, Christ indwells the Christian's heart through the Holy Spirit, as does the Father. We will come to him. We will make our home in him through the giving of the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter. There's some complexity in this, isn't there? We talked earlier in the Creed about the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. And while that's a complex term, it does mean something to the effect of that in receiving the Holy Spirit, we are in fact receiving into our hearts the triune God through the Holy Spirit. And the point is this, and here's the important point. God says that through the Holy Spirit, God makes his home in us. Now, I just want you to think about the radical notion of what home is now, if that's true. Through the Holy Spirit, the triune God dwells within us and makes his home in us. As we come to faith in Christ, as we hear the gospel, and are reconciled to God through the blood of Christ, Holy Spirit is in our hearts. God makes his home in your life. Which means that, in some sense, we can say that wherever you are, that's where your home is. If Christ indwells through the Spirit, indwells you, and says that your heart is my home. There was a in Little House on the Prairie that when Pa has led his family off, and they're living in, I think it's the wilderness of like Kansas, and they're all by themselves in this little house. And at one point, in great desperation, when they're having a lot of trouble, he turns to his wife and he says, "You know, he's a failure, and this has been terrible." And you know, and he turns to his wife and he says, "I've taken you away from your home and from your family back in Minnesota." And she said, "That's nonsense. My home is where you are. And you and the children are my family." You see, if Christ lives in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has made our home in us, then our home is there too. Some sense of that we can be at home within ourselves. Follow with me on this. So each of us here comes and we're kind of like a little world, each one of you, okay? And you know your little world, right? It's your world that is full of your thoughts, the way you're interpreting what's going on around you, your memories of what has happened to you in the past. You know this little world that you inhabit? The world of your inner being, the world of your own personal thoughts, sights and sounds and experiences, painful things, joyful things come in through your senses, and you're kind of in there, in that little world. trying to make sense of it, trying to get through it, trying to endure it. Sometimes that world can start to feel kind of claustrophobic, like you're kind of trapped in it, right? Because, you know, alarm goes off in the morning, you wake up, same ceiling. You get out of bed the same way. Shuffle down the hall, to the bathroom, maybe to the kitchen. You know how you dig, and off you go. And the battles that you fight, and the conflicts that you deal with, and the painful things that you deal with, and the joyful things that you, all that, that your little world, you're kind of stuck in it, right? I mean, you can't really get out of it. You might get some relief when you sleep, but when you wake up, it's the same ceiling and the same hallway that you go down and the same people that you deal with. Think of it as something like a courtyard, okay? You might feel kind of walled in a courtyard, and that might feel confining. The courtyard might be a picture of your inner world. But think of the courtyard as not having a roof. This is an Augustine picture, by the way. And without the roof, you can look up. And far from being confined, you can see the farthest stars. You can see the sun, the moon. You can see galaxies. You can see, as it would be, off into eternity. Just the opposite of claustrophobia. Faith in Christ does something like that for us. Because it reminds us, when Christ comes and dwells within us through the Spirit, we are not alone in our inner world anymore. But a great and mighty power indwells us. This faith in the triune God means that God is at home within us, and so you are at home with God in your own inner personal world. And so whatever you experience in life, whether it's joy or sorrow, God's with you in that experience. Whether it's trials or great weariness, some sense of it, God knows your thoughts. He's in that with you as a great power and as a great helper. Whether you experience pleasure or pain, you are not alone in these things. Your God is with you in your thoughts, sharing that world with you because He's at home in you. He dwells with you. When you are experiencing loneliness, you aren't really, right? Because God's home is within your heart. When you are experiencing difficulty, when you are in the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with you, even in that experience. If God has made His home in you, then you are never alone. Wouldn't it be amazing if we really believed that by faith? I mean, what a difference that would make in your world and in your life if you went deeper and deeper into what that means. It's really one of the benefits, really, when you think about it, of Christ going away, like you said, but sending the Spirit. Let's, for example, imagine the story went like this. Christ died, rose from the dead, but He did not ascend. He just set up His home in Jerusalem, let's say, you know, some house there in Jerusalem. That's His house. Now, there would be some things that I would like about that. You know, that would mean that we could get on a plane and go to Jerusalem and we could see Jesus. That sounds good. Maybe you could even talk to Jesus. There might be a long line. But it would at least be a possibility. You could talk to Jesus. You could see Him from a distance. Maybe, kind of like the Pope up on a balcony. Maybe you could, with among the crowd, you could see Jesus. There he is. Now you might think that might be, why didn't God do it that way? But what I want you to think about
is that when we really understand what Jesus is saying, that I'm leaving so that I can send the Holy Spirit, there's actually an even greater, more profound intimacy that you have with Him. You don't need to go to Jerusalem because He has made His home in you. You have to go anywhere because He dwells within you. You can draw upon His grace and His strength right now. He indwells you in a much more intimate, more profound way than if you lived in some house in Jerusalem. The second thing that we want to look at is that, okay, so he's saying that here's comfort, that the Comforter is going to live and make His home in you, and we, my Father, and me, and the Holy Spirit, we will make our home in you. There's profound comfort in that. Then what logically flows is what he says next. When he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid." And do not be afraid. So he's contrasting two kinds of peace. There's his peace, and then there's the world's peace. So let's think about the world's peace for a moment. What peace does the world give? Or how does the world define what peace is? I suspect that most people would say, boy, if I just was rid of stress, I would feel peace. Or if I had enough money and could pay my bills and wasn't in debt, I'd really feel at peace. Or, you know, if I could have a better job or a better spouse or better kids or better friends, or, you know, if life got easier, if I had better control over my world, if certain people in my world would just go away, then I would feel peace. If I could retire, I finally could just rest. Go to Florida. If war would cease, I'd have peace. If I could be healthy and young and thin, I'd really feel at peace. If I were respected by people that I want to respect me, I'd really feel satisfied then. Or if I felt like my work was valued more than anything, then so the world's peace seems to be quite conditioned upon a lot of other things, right? Then I would have peace. But that's not what Jesus is talking about, at least primarily. When he says, "my peace," he's talking about a peace that the Holy Spirit gives us in the midst of the broken stuff of this world. In other words, the peace he's talking about does not need to be thought of as contingent upon something outside, but rather is a peace that he gives in the midst of it. When I was a kid, I remember the song that we used to sing at my public school, actually. It was one of those parent, you know, concert things, and we sang this song. It used to be maybe a little more popular back in the 60s. I don't hear it very often now, but I think the song was called "Joy is Like the Rain." Have you ever heard this song? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's, you know, something like, you know, it's kind of a cutesy kind of song, but it was like joy. I saw raindrops on my window. Joy is like the rain. And it's sort of a song talking about joy. But what was interesting about that song is that though I sang it in my public school, occasionally the youth would sing it at church. And one of the lines, which I'm pretty sure we actually sang in my public school, was this: "I saw Christ in wind and thunder. Joy is tried by storm. Christ asleep within my boat, whipped by wind, but still afloat. Joy is like the storm. Joy is tried by storm." I just heard that recently. I hadn't heard that for a long time. But I think my peace could be described as something like, let's think about the picture of Christ in the boat in the storm. Right? Christ asleep in the boat. Now the disciples interpreted that as, Lord, don't you care? But let's just hit the pause button on that image of Christ asleep in the boat. Maybe the better way to understand that certainly is not that he doesn't care, but that Christ is at peace in the storm. He's not worried about the storm. He's not stressed out about the storm. He is the Lord who controls storms. He is the Lord who knows in the end, in the final end, everything's going to turn out okay. And he is at peace in the boat, in the storm. He's not freaked out. How about this, folks, that we find peace in knowing that the Prince of Peace indwells our little world. That we can, in some way, stop being afraid of life. Read recently a quote from a theologian at the University of Chicago, and he says this. He says, Christians ought to be celebrating constantly. We ought to be preoccupied with parties and banquets and feasts and merriment. We ought to give ourselves over to veritable orgies of joy because, here's the reason, we have been liberated from the fear of life and the fear of death. We ought to attract people to the church quite literally by the peace there is in being a Christian. To be free of the fear of death and to be free from the fear of life is part of the peace that comes through receiving the Holy Spirit and knowing that God has made his home in us. And he is our peace. And he says to us, my peace I give to you. Dear friends, wouldn't that be amazing if you could receive that? We assume he's talking serious, right? He means this. My peace I leave to you. How amazing it would be if we could go deeper and deeper into what it means to receive that. What a difference that would make in our lives. And I should note here that, remember, the context of all that he's saying has been, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So the application of all of what we're talking about isn't that we just end up sort of basking in the peace and presence of God. I mean, okay, maybe basking's okay. But it's not just it's not basking that kind of puts us detached from the world, kind of soaking it all in, right? All this is about that we become more deeply lovers of Christ, right? Deeply, what an amazing God to love. And if we love God, we're going to be more and more zealous to keep his commandments. We're going to be more and more zealous to follow him and to follow him radically. To follow him wherever he leads, even to death. See, the love of Christ compels us to deeper commitment and deeper zeal. But that comes from knowing that Christ dwells within us, and along with him, his peace. So, you know, Kenton was kind of a picture of a childlike faith, right? At rest when the car is spinning around. So if he does that with his very fallible parents, how much more should we, who know that Christ has made his home in our very presence, can be at peace. You're an in storm. Christ asleep within my boat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for sending us your Spirit that comes from your Father through you to us. And that the God of all reality has made their home in us. And so, Lord, may your peace be something we continue to receive. And may it spur us on to greater service and love and joy and obedience. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.